When I was a young girl attending my Catholic parochial school, we would have Mass once a week. For those of you who are not familiar with Catholic Mass, there's a portion of the service called the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And it's during this time that the bread and the wine of the Eucharist and communion are prepared. And during this part of the service, everyone in the sanctuary gets down on their knees in the pews and kneels through that entire 10 or 15 minutes. And it would often happen to me that after a minute or two of kneeling down, I would notice my heart starting to beat a bit faster, pounding even in my chest. And I was a mystic even at a young age. And so I interpreted this to mean that God must be trying to tell me something with this pounding of my heart. Perhaps that I had some sort of special relationship with him, and at the time I didn't question that it was a male God. Or perhaps that something holy was about to happen and I better pay attention. A more scientific explanation is probably that the blood was being cut off to my knees, and so my heart was starting to beat a bit more rapidly. Regardless of the physiological explanations, in that moment, I felt connected to something larger, greater than myself. As Wordsworth writes, I felt a sense sublime of something deeply interfused. Our spiritual theme of the month here at the Unitarian Society of Germantown is Source Beyond Ourselves. This broadly encompassing phrase may bring to mind a variety of words for you. For me, the phrase evokes God, spirit, community, love. It evokes something sacred, something that transcends our ordinary material existence and that exists beyond our individual thoughts and whims. One of the reasons many of us are drawn here to USG or to any spiritual community for that matter is to seek out this source, to feel wonder and awe as we are connected to something larger, something more lasting than our individual selves. Now, what that something actually is and whether it actually exists has been the subject of theological debate for centuries. And within our theologically diverse religious tradition, we each may name this source in different ways: spirit of life, universe, Gaia, mystery beyond understanding. Wordsworth described it as a motion and a spirit that rolls through all things. What is common amongst all of these names and descriptions is that they remind us of life's ultimate meaning. And I believe that what we call this source beyond ourselves is not as important as the feeling that is stirred within us when we connect with it. For me, this feeling is reverence, that feeling of deep respect and even awe. We gather here at USG seeking out that source beyond ourselves, and as the religious educator Sophia Lyon-Faz has written, in reverence before the wonder of life, the wonder of this moment. To feel reverence is to recognize with humility our place within the larger story of the universe. It is to recognize the grace of love offered to us without anything being asked of us in return. The term reverence has caused some serious debate in our Unitarian Universalist history. Over 10 years ago now, then president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, the Reverend Bill Sinkford, delivered what turned out to be a very controversial sermon entitled The Language of Faith. And in this sermon, Sinkford called on Unitarian Universalists to embrace a quote-unquote vocabulary of reverence, a term that he actually borrowed from another Unitarian Universalist minister, the Reverend David Bumbaugh. Now, the controversy stemmed in part from a mischaracterization of Sinkford's sermon by a Fort Worth newspaper, which summarized his message as, "We need more God talk." You can imagine how that went over across the association. And in fact, Sinkford had said very explicitly that religious language does not have to mean God talk. It instead allows us to capture the possibility of reverence, no matter our theological stance. Nonetheless, some took Sinkford's call as a creeping creedalism and feared that we were moving more towards a preference for a God-centered theology and spirituality in our religious movement. Somehow, Sinkford's admonition to take up the language of reverence had become associated with one particular theological position. Yet the minister who Sinkford had borrowed that phrase from, vocabulary of reverence, is actually a humanist. David Bumbaugh and William Sinkford come from different strains of our theological heritage. Each of them identifies with a different source beyond ourselves, a source of life's ultimate meaning, and yet both are inspired to speak with reverence about their experience of that source. Bill Sinkford relates the story of how his spiritual life evolved from one of ardent humanism to embracing a prayer life that was more based on thankfulness and gratefulness to God. He says, "It was in the midst of a crisis. My son Billy, then 15 years old, had overdosed on drugs, and it was unclear whether he would live. As I sat with him in the hospital, I found myself praying. First, the selfish prayers for forgiveness, for the time not made, for the too many trips, for the many things unsaid, and sadly, for a few things said that should never have passed my lips. But as the night darkened, I finally found the pure prayer, the prayer that asked only that my son would live. And late in the evening, I felt the hands of a loving universe reaching out to hold. The hands of God, the spirit of life, the name was unimportant. I knew that those hands would be there to hold me, whatever the morning brought. And I knew, though I cannot tell you how, that those hands were holding my son as well. I knew that I did not have to walk that path alone, that there is a love that has never broken faith with us and never will." Some of you may identify with Sinkford's story of universal love. At the bedside of someone that you love suffering through an illness or facing the last days of their life, feeling a loving presence, assuring you that you are not alone. Receiving into your arms for the very first time that tiny swaddled bundle that is your grandchild. And feeling your heart stretched, full of love and gratitude. Thanks, Mark, for taking my picture right then. The older brother's always there in the clinch moments. All right, this happened last year. Thanks. David Bumbaugh, the Unitarian Universalist minister who I also mentioned, identifies another source of our connection to the sacred, the universe and the living process of creation. He writes, "Our beings are intimately related to every living thing that creeps or crawls or flies, to every living thing that is rooted in the earth and reaches for the sun, to every living thing that inhabits the dark depths of the oceans. We are but one form life has taken, one expression of Gaia's living process. The heat of our bodies is the heat of stars tempered to the uses of life. The salt in our blood and in our tears is the salt of ancient oceans. The past is not dead. It lives in us even now. The evolutionary universe, the ancient environment, the emergence of complex life, all are recapitulated in every moment of our existence. Bumbao so beautifully articulates how we human beings are a part of the larger story of the universe. The source beyond ourselves is cosmic in nature, and it encompasses all creation. Just yesterday afternoon, I and some of my family members who are gathered here this morning stood in our backyard in amazement at the sight of this red-tailed hawk that had captured a squirrel in its talons. And it was perched up in a tree. And as I watched this beautiful creature in this natural scene, I wondered at our common origins that burst forth so many millennia ago. Us human beings standing on the ground, this magnificent bird, the squirrel in its grasp, the 30-foot tree that the bird was perched in. We all ultimately come from the same source. These two ways of identifying the source beyond ourselves, God as love and the universe, are certainly not mutually exclusive. We feel reverence both in the midst of an abiding spirit of love and in recognition of the awesome story of the universe's unfolding. Now, Unitarian Universalism has changed some in the 10-plus years since Stingford's sermon. The debate and animosity between theists and humanists is not quite as strong. And throughout our congregations, we are more open to feeling and expressing the stirrings of the spirit in diverse and lively ways. Yet both Bumba and Stingford's call for us to more fully embrace reverence still speaks to us today. Because feeling connected to that source beyond ourselves, no matter how you describe it or what you call it, is the beginning of living a religious life of reverence, gratitude, and service. Reverence for the wondrous mystery of life, gratitude for our capacity to know and feel awe and love, and service to our greater world, grounded in that gratitude. Now, as we all know, today is my final Sunday as consulting minister here at USG. And it is with both sadness and joy that I end my ministry here and depart from all of you, not before a big celebration in the afternoon. And I want to share with you my reverence and gratitude for this beloved community. The Unitarian Society of Germantown is a place where wonder and joy and love are cultivated through all aspects of life together as a spiritual community. While we sing and meditate together in the sanctuary on Sundays, while we do that hard and not always glorious work of committee meetings during the week, while we celebrate historic victories on Lincoln Drive, in all these places and in all of these ways, this community connects each of us to a larger source of love and compassion and beauty. I am so deeply grateful to have had the opportunity to learn amongst all of you for the past 2 years as I begin my life of service as a Unitarian Universalist minister. I am honored and grateful to have been present to you in times of joy and in times of sorrow. And I'm grateful to have served our broader community alongside you, calling for equity in our public education system, for justice for our immigrant community, for an end to the immoral system of mass incarceration in our state and in our country. My hope for you, as you continue, is that you continue to cultivate a reverence for all that is holy and sacred, that you are filled with a sense of gratitude for the wonders of life, and that in that gratitude, you continue to serve each other and the world. And I promise that I will do the same. May it be so. Amen and blessed be.